This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, we continue to celebrate the legacy of the late Pope Francis. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. The cardinals that are already in Rome on Tuesday met at the Vatican for the first general congregation of the College of Cardinals. The meeting marked the beginning of a period of prayer, reflection, and preparation following the death of Pope Francis. Approximately 60 cardinals were in attendance in the Synod Hall for the occasion, and all of them took the solemn oath to faithfully observe the norms governing their activities until burial, a period known in Vatican terms as the interregnum, and then up to the election of the new pope. Linda Bodoni has this report.
After singing the Ad Sumus, a traditional invocation of the Holy Spirit, the cardinals listened carefully to the reading of paragraphs 12 and 13 of Universi Dominici Gregis, the apostolic constitution that outlines the responsibilities and procedures to be followed in the sede vacante period. Cardinal Kevin Farrell, Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church, also read Pope Francis's spiritual testament to the assembly. During the session, the cardinals decided to suspend scheduled beatification celebrations. They confirmed the dates for the translation of the Holy Father's body and of his funeral, which will take place on Saturday the 26th of April at 10 a.m., as previously announced by the Holy See Press Office. The second general congregation is scheduled for Wednesday in the late afternoon, in the wake of the ceremonial transfer of the Pope's body to the Basilica, where he will lie in state. As part of the Novem Dialis, the traditional 9 days of mourning, a mass presided over by Cardinal Pietro Parolin will be celebrated on Sunday the 27th in St. Peter's Square. In accordance with the norms of the Apostolic Constitution, a commission of three cardinals, each representing one of the three orders of the College of Cardinals, was selected by lot to assist the Camerlengo in the governance of the church during the sede vacante. They will be replaced every 3 days. I'm Linda Bordoni.
During their general congregation, the cardinals confirmed the dates for the Holy Father's funeral, which would take place on Saturday 26th April at 10 a.m., as has been previously announced by the Holy See Press Office. Here is Devin Watkins with this report.
The Holy See Press Office announced on Tuesday that Pope Francis's funeral mass will take place on Saturday, April 26th at 10 a.m. in St. Peter's Square. Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, Dean of the College of Cardinals, will preside at the Mass, which will be concelebrated by patriarchs, cardinals, archbishops, bishops, and priests from across the globe. The Eucharistic celebration will conclude with the Ultima Commendatio and the Valedictio, marking the beginning of the Novem Dialis, or 9 days of mourning and Masses for the repose of Pope Francis's soul. The late Pope's body will then be taken into St. Peter's Basilica and then to the Basilica of St. Mary Major for entombment. Earlier, on Wednesday, the coffin containing the Pope's body will be carried from the chapel of the Casa Santa Marta to St. Peter's Basilica so that the faithful may pay their respects. Cardinal Kevin Farrell, Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church, will preside over the rite of translation on April 23rd, which will begin at 9 a.m. with a moment of prayer. The procession will pass through the Santa Marta Square and the Square of the Roman Proto-Martyrs, according to the Holy See Press Office. The procession will then exit through the Arch of the Bells into St. Peter's Square and enter the Vatican Basilica through the central door. At the altar of the confession, the Cardinal Camerlengo will preside over the Liturgy of the Word, at the conclusion of which visits to the body of the Roman Pontiff will commence. St. Peter's Basilica will remain open for the faithful who wish to pay their respects to the late Pope on Wednesday from 11 a.m. until midnight, on Thursday from 7 a.m. to midnight, and on Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'm Devin Watkins.
And as we have just heard, The Vatican on Tuesday published the will, or the testament of Pope Francis. The will that Pope Francis signed on 29th June 2022 gives indications for his burial in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Pope Francis began his will with the words of his papal motto, Miserando atque eligendo, which translates to, He looked upon him with mercy and chose him. Pope Francis in the will said that, As I sense the approaching twilight of my earthly life, and with firm hope in eternal life, I wish to set out my final wishes solely regarding the place of my burial. Throughout my life and during my ministry as a priest and bishop, I have always entrusted myself to the Mother of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary. For this reason, I ask that my motto remains, rest, awaiting the day of the resurrection in the papal basilica of St. Mary Major. Then he goes on to describe the exact place of his burial ground inside the basilica that he calls an ancient Marian sanctuary, where I would always stop to pray at the beginning and end of every apostolic journey, confidently entrusting my intentions to the Immaculate Mother and giving thanks for her gentle and maternal care. The tomb should be in the ground, simple, without particular ornamentation, bearing only the inscription Franciscus. He also speaks of the burial arrangements and cost, for which he says is covered by a sum provided by a benefactor, which he says he had arranged to be transferred to the papal basilica of St. Mary Major. May the Lord grant a fitting reward to all those who have loved me and who continue to pray for me. The suffering that has marked the final part of my life, I offer to the Lord for peace in the world and for fraternity among peoples. Pope Francis concludes his will or testament. Meantime, tributes and messages of condolences keep pouring in for the death of Pope Francis. In its message, the International Organization for Migration has expressed its profound sorrow at the passing of His Holiness Pope Francis, whose pontificate, it says, was marked by unwavering moral leadership in defense of human dignity and the rights of migrants and the most vulnerable. Monsignor Robert Vitillo is the former Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission, who is now advisor to the Vatican's Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. Monsignor Vitillo spoke to Vatican Radio reacting to the death of Pope Francis.
Well, what stands out most for me is his leadership in advocacy, and in not just advocacy, but actually building relationships with the most marginalized groups of people in the world, and trying to help others understand that every single human person is a child of God, built in God's image, and deserves to be included within the communities. Of course, as one who served for many years at Caritas Internationalis, and then at the International Catholic Migration Commission, it stands out so much to me that the Holy Father was such an advocate of refugees and migrants and displaced persons and survivors of human trafficking throughout the world.
Monsignor Robert Vitillo, former Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission, who is now advisor to the Vatican's Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. The Vatican on Tuesday published a preface written by the late Pope Francis on February 7th to a book on old age written by Cardinal Angelo Scola, the Archbishop Emeritus of Milan. The book is entitled Awaiting a New Beginning, Reflections on Old Age. The volume, published by the Vatican Publishing House, will be available in bookstores starting on Thursday, April 24th. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Throughout his pontificate, Pope Francis often spoke about the intrinsic value and role of old age, criticizing our modern throwaway society where elderly people are instead considered a burden and discarded. In his preface to Cardinal Scola's new book, the late Pope echoes these sentiments. One of the central points of his reflection is the reclaiming of the word old. Pope Francis commends Cardinal Scola for using the term unapologetically, rejecting the modern cultural tendency to view old age as a period of decline or irrelevance. To say old, he says, does not mean to be thrown away, as a degraded throwaway culture sometimes leads us to believe. Instead, the late Pope argues that being old should be associated with valuable qualities like experience, wisdom, discernment, and the ability to listen, traits that are deeply needed in today's world and are crucial in guiding younger generations. The real issue, the preface continues, is how one grows old. If this stage of life during which we experience reduced strength is accepted with a sense of gratitude and appreciation, he says, then even old age becomes a season of life, fruitful and capable of radiating goodness. I am Lisa Zengarini.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to this special radio program about the legacy of Pope Francis and Africa. With me is Father Paul Samasomo. Father Samasomo, Pope Francis had a big heart for Africa and the Africans. He leaves behind a legacy of commitment to Africa. How should Africa remember him?
Thank you, Angela, for this special program on the legacy of Pope Francis in Africa. You are right, Pope Francis did have a big heart for Africa and for Africans. And so Africans are mourning not just the leader of the Catholic Church, the spiritual leader, but also someone who was unafraid, I think, to champion unpopular African causes, those that are often ignored by many media houses in Europe and elsewhere, the big ones. They don't speak about these because they are African causes and they are not important. Such stories as the vulnerabilities of Africa's conflicts, Africa has so many conflicts, exploitation of Africa, the poverty in Africa, the diseases in Africa. So these are things that Pope Francis would speak about, which perhaps other people, maybe for fearing that the electorates might not like them, would not venture out to talk about.
What can you say about Pope Francis and migrants?
The issue of migrants was something that was very important to Pope Francis. Refugees, migrants, this was a theme that he made central, one of the themes he made central to his papacy. In July 2013, one of his first travels outside Rome was to an Italian island of Lampedusa, a small island of Lampedusa, where many young Africans had drowned. They had a shipwreck, their boat had a problem there as they were in the Mediterranean and trying to reach the shores of Europe. And from there, he said, unfortunately, the world has become used to the suffering of others, and the suffering of others does not move the world anymore. Migrants can die, and it will not make big news about it. He said that is the globalization of indifference. And from that time, throughout his papacy, Pope Francis would always advocate, he would speak for migrants. Even if you go today in the square of St. Peter's Basilica, there is an artistic board there which shows that we are all migrants in this world, one way or another. Pope Francis always used to challenge, especially the Europeans, that migrants need to be welcomed. Migrants need to be accompanied when they come. They need to be supported, and then they need to be integrated because they are not just a problem. They are also bringing some values, and sometimes they are doing work that the Europeans do not want to do. It has not always been a popular message because a lot of politicians, a lot of politics in Europe are very anti-migrants. But Pope Francis would keep talking about the importance of humanity in terms of migration.
Pope Francis traveled to Africa, and he was always calling for peace in Africa. How many countries did he visit?
His first visit to Africa was in 2015, and I was privileged to be on that visit. The Pope went to Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic. The visit to the Central African Republic was the most controversial, because there was a conflict a serious conflict going on at the time, but the Pope wanted to go and encourage peace. He insisted on going there. Notwithstanding the ongoing violence in that troubled country, Pope Francis landed on the 29th of November 2015, and he turned down suggestions to wear a bulletproof vest or even use a Pope mobile which has bullet shields, so that if anything happened, he would be protected. He just chose a simple Land Cruiser that he was using as a Pope mobile when he was in the Central African Republic. We actually went with him in the mosque, one of the big mosques there, and he was very, very warmly well received there by the Muslims. They gave him a garland, and there was no hostility whatsoever. I think this is one visit that demonstrates the courage of Pope Francis and how he values the peace for Africa, that he was even, so to say, ready to put his life at risk. Later on, he would make other visits, and when he, for example, the recent visit he made in 2023 to the Democratic Republic of Congo, he made a very strong speech there when he was speaking to government, civil, and diplomatic authorities, when he says, "Hands off the Democratic Republic of Congo. Hands off Africa. Stop choking Africa. Africa is not a mine to be stripped of its terrain and to be plundered," you know. Very, very strong words. And he went on in that line. So sometimes you find that the Pope, when he would be in Africa, he would probably be the only one speaking about matters that are important to the continent of Africa. How, for example, climate change is affecting the continent. We've seen so many disasters, drought and flooding and so forth. And it's the Pope who is always who has always been in the forefront saying, "The people who are suffering the most are the Africans and the other developing countries of the world, who perhaps did not even contribute as much to the pollution of the world." We saw also during COVID-19, when it was a problem for African countries to get COVID vaccines, the Pope himself was in the forefront calling for the distribution and the spirit of global responsibility to ensure that Africa and other developing countries were not left out in the allocation of COVID vaccines. These are just some snapshots to just show how Pope Francis has been very close, and how when we say that he had a big heart for Africa, he really demonstrated it. About the countries that he has visited, I hope I don't leave out anything. I've already said he went to Kenya, Uganda, the Central African Republic. He's been to Egypt. He's been to Morocco. He's been to Mozambique, Madagascar, the Republic of Congo, and South Sudan. His visit to South Sudan, of course, he was accompanied by the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time, as well as the moderator of the Church of Scotland. And they went together there to go and encourage peace. And in the eastern coast of Africa, the Pope has also been to Mauritius. So he has a very good record, I think, of visiting Africa. But we see that he chose to go to those countries which needed him the most. He didn't go to the most populous countries, the countries with the most Catholics, or where he would receive a grand welcome. But he went to the troubled places in Africa. And I think I could go on, but I know I'm conscious of the fact that we have very little time.
What about Pope Francis as a pastor and universal shepherd?
Angela, I can tell you, Pope Francis was a universal pastor. He was a shepherd for all in Africa. For example, he always, whenever he was in Africa, or even when he celebrated Mass for Africa, he celebrated two times Mass in the Zairean Rite, the Congolese Rite. They have a special rite where there is movement throughout the Mass, there's dance. He was very much at home with that. And he always encouraged Africans, whenever he would speak on matters of Africa, that they should embrace their ethnic differences and not see them as a problem, but as a challenge to be welcomed. You know, the fact that you are from another tribe and I'm from another tribe is not a problem at all. Another thing that he encouraged Africans to do is never to lose their respect for elders, for grandparents. This is something that he also always spoke, and there are many other examples.
Father Samasumo, thank you for this reflection.
Thank you, Angela, and it is good to see you crossing from Swahili to English. I hope I'll do the same one of these days.
This is a sports roundup, and welcome to the program in which we pay tribute to one of the best sports persons that ever lived, Pope Francis. My name is Kanyan Tagodifri Kampamba. I would begin by reminding everyone about how much Jesus was a sports lover. Now risen from the dead, Jesus Christ calls us to play to his glory. This is in resonance with Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 2, where St. Paul is urging us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is our spiritual act of worship. That means that sport is an area of life that can be offered to God as an act of worship. Pope Francis understood this message very well, to the point that his passion for football became known almost immediately after he was elected as the first pope from Latin America in 2013, when the Argentine club San Lorenzo tweeted a photo of him holding up the team's crest. He was even a card-carrying member of the club with San Lorenzo identity card number 88235. Now the world mourns the passing of Pope Francis, a shepherd of souls who saw in sport not just a game, but a gospel and a way to bind humanity together in hope, humility and harmony across the globe and in different religions and cults. The 266th Pope of the Roman Catholic Church died just a day after Christians worldwide celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, marking a spiritually symbolic close to the life of a man who often used sports to preach about rebirth, renewal, and reaching the margins. The death of Pope Francis has certainly gone beyond churches and reached football fields, basketball courts, Olympic arenas, and slums, where the world's most vulnerable found hope in his message. The entire sports world will remember Pope Francis as a leader who turned balls and boots into instruments of peace and discipleship. A lifelong supporter of the Argentine club Atletico San Lorenzo de Almagro, Pope Francis would often refer to football as more than just a beautiful game. As he grew up in the 1940s Buenos Aires, he would attend matches with his father, eventually becoming a club member and renewing it as Pope in 2013, just days after his election. Pope Francis usually spoke of footballers like the iconic Lionel Messi and idolized Diego Maradona, not just for their talent, but their ability to inspire the world. In his speeches, he used football metaphors in order to inspire teamwork, hard work, and communal living. "Play as a team, not for yourselves," he told the Vatican's Youth Sports Summit in October 2016, adding, "Even the best player needs the team." We may also want to know that Pope Francis once played basketball as a boy, and towering among his friends, young Jorge was known for his energy on the court in the 1950s, and in later years, he carried with him a tattered sports card, which was his humble connection to his youth and the discipline that sport gave him. He actually loved the unity in basketball and was once heard saying in a 2015 audience that the game's back and forth rhythm taught him how life flows when we pass and trust. From 2014 onwards, Pope Francis used major sporting events as platforms for spiritual reflection. He addressed athletes at the Vatican's 2016 Jubilee for Sports, where he encouraged them to compete with heart and soul, not just for medals. His teachings focused on five key pillars: sports as a place of fraternity, a tool for evangelization, a vehicle for character formation, a platform for inclusion and dignity, and a bridge for peace and reconciliation. Most sports administrators and youth coaches in Africa, for instance, have a chance to reflect on the approach of Pope Francis. In a continent overflowing with raw talent, yet still battling issues of athlete development and post-career abandonment, the Pope's teachings offer a roadmap. He reminded the world that sports can be a ministry. Africa's upcoming footballers, netballers, cricketers, those who play rugby, hockey players and track stars can be equipped with more than just tactics. They can be given purpose. they can be taught how to play for the people, not just the prize. Pope Francis actually believed the fact that sports had the power to build bridges where politics failed. In 2021, during the Tokyo Olympics, he called sport an antidote to division and praised the Paralympics as a sign that limitations do not diminish dignity. It should be the hope of the sports world that the purpose of Pope Francis will live on, not just in churches or through solemn homilies, but in stadiums, street pitches, and schoolyards. Athletes around the world can walk the talk, knowing the fact that their journey, their struggle, and their joy mattered to the highest spiritual office. Actually, since his death was announced on Monday morning, the wider football and the sports world have been paying homage, and tributes have been pouring in from the sports world that is in mourning the soccer loving Pope Francis. FIFA President Gianni Infantino says he was deeply saddened over the Pope's death and that he was privileged enough to spend some time with him on a couple of occasions, and he always shared his enthusiasm for football and stressed the important role our sport plays in society. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach said, "We are losing a great friend and supporter of the Olympic movement." Bach said further that the support of Pope Francis for the peace and solidarity mission of the Olympic Games and the many refugee initiatives of the International Olympic Committee has been unwavering. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Even as we continue to mourn the passing of one of the best sports persons that ever lived, Pope Francis. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and remember to join us again at the same time tomorrow. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudato Jesus Christus.